questions, allay some of their concerns, and move together forward. And this is, we're just at the beginning of measuring where we are and where we want to go, but I think the feeling is that this is important work and we're committed to making it happen.
Thank you.
Thanks for your support.
And thanks on that score. Thanks to all of you that are part of that. It's really important work, and we're very grateful. So thank you. All right. We have a member of our state legislative delegation is here. If you'd come. Oh, look. How are you, sir? Please come forward. Take your seat. Good to see you, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you? I'm Lou Frederick. I'm state representative for North and Northeast Portland, and I wanted to at least speak a little bit to this. A number of folks do know, but many do not. I'm a lapsed mime. And
wow.
I came to Portland to be a dancer, a musician, and an actor, and a mime. And I was couldn't make any money doing any of those things. And so the arts folk here understand that very well. I have been able to watch the arts programs and try to support what I could here and across the state. We have had as a real basic concept a feel-good system about the arts. Everyone talks about how important they are, and yet for the last 20 years, we have been cutting the arts programs in the Portland schools and in the schools generally. The statistics that you saw about recent cuts over the last 4 years really don't begin to give a sense of the fact that we once had instrumental music programs in every elementary school. We had bands. We had arts. We had dance. We had arts programs in those schools of all sorts of things, visual arts, sculpting, ceramics, all of those things were part of the regular comprehensive education in the Portland schools. We also used to have shop classes in every elementary school and middle school. A friend of mine is a cell physiologist, and he talks about the fact that his sixth grade experience in shop class was what really has made him become one of the possibilities for a Nobel Prize at some point. He was able to talk about taking wood and dovetailing the wood so that it connected with one another, and he said that that gives him a visual whenever he's talking about using connecting proteins on the membranes of cells. It's a very important kind of approach. But we have been dismantling this particular system for the last 20 years, and it is time to stop it. It is time to rise up and actually say, no, enough. We can't do this on the cheap, and that's something we've also been trying to do for quite some time. I want to make sure that we recognize that this is what is in fact we've been doing, and it's time to just say, okay, enough. Now, where do we go from here? Commissioner Fritz, you mentioned at the state level, there is something that we do have at the state level, and it's something that I want to make sure that we begin to really work with. Officially, we have achievement compacts that are supposed to be coming into every school, every district. Now, those achievement compacts tend to be based around whether you get 46.7 on a math test or on a reading test. That does not tell me what we really want to see for our kids. They're not rushing to school or rushing home or 20 years from now saying, did you know that I managed to score 46.7 on that math test? They will be rushing home, and they will have sitting in their desk somewhere hidden off on a shelf something that they produced with art. They will be able to talk about the first time they really got what Midsummer Night's Dream was about. They will be able to understand that kind of thing, and we need to be able to say within every achievement compact that people are talking about at the state level must have an arts component within it. Not just a nice feel-good thing that we're going to be suggesting it, but it has to show that. The achievement compacts, in my view, should say, I produced a something in visual arts. I learned to play an instrument. I understood what was going on stage as in theater. That should be part of the Achievement Compact, and it would be very important for the city and for the rest of the folks in this room to make sure that when they're talking with their state representatives, and when they're talking with their superintendents, and when they're talking with the Oregon Education Investment Board members who may be part of their communities, or even if they aren't, that they go to make sure that those folks understand that achievement compacts have to include those kinds of things. We have to begin to return to a comprehensive program, not one that's separated out so that we have a charter school over here that does the arts, and another one over here that does science, and another one over here that's doing shop. We really have to decide right now that it is time for us to begin to work on these things in a way that's going to be effective for the next 50 years, because that's who we're talking about. That's who those kids are. They need to have that kind of background now. So anything we can do regarding the arts is something that I'm going to applaud, not because I cannot no longer do mime, and I can no longer really do the dance that I thought I could, and I will not talk about what my voice does at this time. But I really, this is a basic part of my life, and it should, as I understand it, a basic part of whether we're going to be successful in the future. So I wanted to bring that point forward. Thank you.
Thank you. And we have three members of the public that have signed up.
Amy Boggs, Shedrick J. Wilkins, and Nim Shuto. Please come on up.
Welcome back.
Hi.
Go ahead and begin.
We have left.
Oh, go ahead. Hi, I'm Elizabeth Novas, as just show. My name is Nim Chudo. I'm the co-founder, executive director of Color Pencils Art and Culture Councils. We organize art show open mic for people of all cultures, income level, ability, physical, mental ability. So we are partly support right now by RACC until the end of June. But we hope so much that they will continue to support us because we bring people of all cultures together every other month to exchange, to learn about each other's cultures. I want to talk about art in Portland, in a school. I was 2 years ago invited to David Douglas to teach art for third graders. And they want me to teach them, the kids, to make lantern, Chinese lantern. But I'm from Thailand, so I don't really know how to do a Chinese lantern. But I also teach, I have been teaching art for a long, long time. So when I got to the classes, I saw children of so many cultures in that class. They're very young, you know, third graders. So I decided to ask them to, with very limited supplies, I realized that the school, I said, wow, no supplies. But I said, boys and girls, we're going to use everything we have. So we look for everything, and we're going to do art. I asked them to tell their stories. All those kids starting to tell their stories through the collage and the method, the techniques I taught them. And believe it or not, I met, at the end of the class, they will come out with their art, and they will tell stories. I met the boy that came from Amazon jungle. I mean, I've heard about Amazon jungle, you know, but that day I met him, and he showed the picture and told the stories of where he came from. And he told stories about his travel journey from there to here and his life here in the new land. And the girl from China will draw the pictures of the China, but lots of flowers, because in China, they didn't have that many flowers. I want to tell you that art sustains us as a human being, period. It's really necessary in the school. I drove my son to school one day, and he plucked his iPod, and the whole time it was all heartbroken music. And I finally realized that children has a limited, language. They really need it. art is not about copy flowers, but about express everything. Problem at home, everything is really necessary. So thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, unless there, the other two that signed up are here to speak or wish to come forward, I'll entertain a motion to accept the report.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the report. Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Fritz?
Thank you all for being here today, and I appreciate the very beginning of your testimony talking about this is the last presentation to this council. And I recognize Mayor Adams for his leadership of this council. Commissioner Fish and Commissioner Leonard and Commissioner Saltzman and I are all partners in this work. And we will continue to be so. I will continue to be so for as long as I'm on the council. And I think once art and culture has touched and changed your life, it doesn't go away. Whether it's a particular personal experience or seeing one's children live out things that I wasn't able to do in my high school career, hit the high notes that I can never hit, and be part of doing things in different ways. And that's one of the values of arts and culture in our community. If we can't celebrate diversity in arts and culture, then we're in real trouble. But we can, and we do. And I thank particularly Nim Chuto and her work in the colored pencils, and then the Regional Arts and Culture Council for welcoming that group and committing to doing better in everything that we do. That's another thing that arts do, is you're always striving to do better, and in what, no matter what medium that you're in. So thank you again for your advocacy. We do need, as Representative Frederick said, we need to change the funding systems at the state level, and we need to have funding for SHOP as well as for arts and for basic teachers. That's the sad part, is what, supposing we pass something that which will provide art teachers and music teachers, then what are the schools going to cut when they're required to cut? It's fundamentally a flawed system and has been since Measure 5 passed, and I need the legislature to step up and fix that, because we can do what we can, and we have done what we can on this city council. We are not allowed to fund in school teachers with city property taxes. So we're looking for other ways to do things, but we need to fix it statewide, because all of our children are at risk. Thank you for the work that you do. Aye.
Fish?
First, I just want to say how grateful I am to live in a community that values arts, culture, and heritage. And, you know, when you're in public service, the work is hard. And these are kind of depressing times with the budget challenges we face and the anxiety in the community. And like so many of you, I find great solace in being able to participate in the rich cultural life of our community. And it recharges my batteries. It's amazing that we have this Rothko exhibit in our community right now, and that his story began in Portland. It's amazing that we have this vibrant jazz scene, and so that when I went to a Black History event, Mel Brown was playing and talking about the great jazz legends that he performed with. You know, as I have a son who's in second grade in Portland Public Schools, and for all the reasons that you've described, we don't have the programs now that I took for granted. Commissioner Leonard and I are old enough to remember when art and music and PE was part of the curriculum. I'm grateful that there's a Multnomah Arts Center where we take him every week to do painting, and I love the joy on his face when he brings home his works and he's exploring color and form and shape. There's a marvelous show right now at the Pacific Northwest College of Art of young people's art. If you haven't seen it, it's extraordinary. It's the best of from their collection of middle school and high school students' work. And I'm also reminded, Eloise, that when we opened Bug Clark Commons, for me, the highlight, because there was so much to celebrate that day, but for me, the highlight was when Leo Rhodes, the poet laureate of Street Roots, and Barry Sanders, the great poet in residence at PNCA, both read original works of art to 500 people. And through their poetry, they placed the whole day in context. So that's what it means to be in a community that values arts, culture, and heritage, and I'm grateful. And I'm grateful for all the people in this room that are in the front lines holding the line and making it happen. And supporting nonprofit organizations, supporting the Oregon Cultural Trust, attending arts, and making it happen. And it's one of the reasons I love this community. We would not be celebrating the progress we've made were it not for the mayor who has presided over this now, I guess, his fourth. So I want to add my thanks to Mayor Adams for making this a priority of his administration. And he said he would, and he did it. And he has been our champion. And so would you join me in thanking Sam Adams for his... I guess in closing, we will find a way to get to dedicated funding. We'll find a path, and we'll come together. But I don't want us to leave here without acknowledging two other major challenges that lay before us. Is someone here from right around Portland? I need some help. There's two other challenges that we need to acknowledge. One is that there are now live races for three positions on this council. 60% of this council will be on the ballot in May and possibly November. And I don't say that to make a political point. I just say that to say that those of you who love this work, please make sure that it is central to the debate about the selection of the people who will be here. We will have a new mayor. Someone will be sitting in Commissioner Leonard's seat. And there's another race, competitive race, for a position on this council. And it takes three votes to do anything around here, and 60% of the council will be on the ballot. So please make sure that your concerns, your issues, your questions are heard during this campaign, because it's vitally important. And the second challenge is that we have half as much one-time money for this budget cycle, and we have a $17 million hole. So we're going to have to make incredibly difficult choices. And many of the things that we love in terms of RAC and the arts are funded with one-time money in addition to other sources. So we're going to have to come together and make just these hideously difficult decisions about what we fund and at what level. And we're going to need all the help we can get to get it right, because this is not a year where we're going to have all of a sudden money materialize at the end, as has happened somewhat consistently where we've been bailed out. We will probably have not more than $11 million of one time, and last year we funded $23 million of one time. And we have a $17 million hole in our general fund. That means tough choices, your voices count, and we're going to need your help to get it right. So again, thank you for an excellent presentation, and thank you for your leadership. And I'm pleased to support your work. Aye.
Leonard?
So I need to correct something Commissioner Fritz said. She suggested she wasn't a good singer, and I need to remind her and inform all of you that she backed me up in a band I sing in occasionally, performing Mustang Sally. And I have never had a better backup on Mustang Sally than Commissioner Fritz, and I've had many. And if you think that it requires any talent to sing Mustang Sally, just scream as loud as you can, and that's how you do it. But one of the variety of reasons that I won't be sitting here a year from now is that I started Irvington Grade School in the fall of 1957. And what's distressing for me to hear in the testimony that I've heard year after year is music is no longer part of the curriculum for grade school kids. And for from kindergarten through the eighth grade at Irvington, Mrs. Sheridan was the music teacher at Irvington, and to this day, I hum songs like Abalone. Who's ever heard the song Abalone? Look it up on Google. You might find it. But Abalone and a number of other songs I learned as a kid in grade school. And I came to age during the 60s as a matter of fact, I started college in Portland just before Janis Joplin died, just before Jimi Hendrix died, just before Jim Morrison died. And I thought it was a law that to do your homework, your college homework, you had to listen to the Temptations and James Brown and Jimi Hendrix as loud as possible while you're doing your homework. And somewhere in my early scholastic career at PSU, I read that that there had been a study done of music and its effect on the brain, and that one of the ways they tested how people reacted to music was to take plants and put them next to a speaker and play different kinds of music on the speaker. Rock and roll, the kind of music that I listened to, had the plants actually grow away from the speaker. When they put Baroque music on, which is a very specific kind of classical music produced in the mid to late 18th century, the vines of the plants would actually grow towards and around the speaker. So I thought, I could probably use to improve my grades. So because Music Millennium was in an area that I grew up in, I put on a hat, an overcoat, dark glasses, and went in and said, where can I find the Baroque music? And I got a Baroque album. And I started listening to this Baroque music while I was studying and actually found, I discovered the Right Brain Initiative before you came up with it as a slogan. And actually, to my delight, found that I actually loved Baroque music, and in addition to other kinds of classical music, something I would have never told my friends, who are, if they're listening, are in horror as they hear this. But to this day, I, if you came to my house around Christmas holidays, and I don't know why I play this particularly at Christmas, but I have every known version that I could ever find of Pachelbel's Canon in D playing on the stereo, because I just love the song, the piece, so much. So one of the variety of reasons that I can't ever live in a condominium, I've been informed by my wife, who, by the way, is a sculptor, who has introduced me to people that I've now count as a friend, such as Lee Kelly, not just a local sculptor, but an internationally renowned sculptor who's just a fabulous human being. But that notwithstanding, music is my art of choice, as some people are probably aware. And one of the many reasons to this day I can't live in a condominium is I can't imagine how one can listen to Papa Has a Brand New Bag in anything but the absolute loudest possible version. And I just don't think my neighbors would tolerate that. So I want to thank you at my last council meeting where you're going to make the presentation, Eloise, for all the presentations. I've just enjoyed so much over the years and interacting with you and others from the art community. It's really enriched my life, and I think made Portland a much better place. Aye.
Adams?
Well, I want to thank the City Council. It's truly a team effort here on this issue, and each and every one of you have contributed in numerous ways, and I'm very grateful to serve with you. I want to thank my arts and culture team, Carrie Clark at various times, Jennifer Yoakum, Karen Brooks, Tommy Douglas, and who have I forgotten? I got it? Good. They do fantastic work, and the city is much better for the fact that they're where they're at. The Regional Arts and Culture Council helping to lead the discussion on changing and improving and seeing the full potential of our diverse culture as a city. And for all of you involved in that effort, thank you to the great Creative Advocacy Network. Just stellar work. Just very thorough. What's coming before the council for further consideration has been thoroughly vetted, and a army of crusaders ready to fight for it exists across the entire city. To Karen and all the superintendents who are absolutely united across the county on this issue, thank you as well. Every time arts and culture gets a little bit of money, a little bit more money, they're able to do amazing things with it. What we'll be considering for the fall is modest, but it's an important step in the right direction. It's an important step, I think, the way Superintendent Gray and Representative Frederick said, where, you know, we're really living up to our value of a, if not full, fuller educational system. One of my passions is reducing the high school dropout rate. This will reduce the high school dropout rate. So thank you all. So approved. We'll take a 5-minute recess, and you're welcome to say it and see more democracy happen or go on with your day.
Nice talking.
Thanks.